Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York, and I hope you didn't spend your $70 on that crap of a fight last night.
Yeah, it was worth $7. By the way, and here's how much time we're going to spend on the fight. Who was it, Roger Mayweather? Roger Mayweather. By the way, I was in MGM.
Floyd Mayweather.
What did I say, Roger Mayweather?
Yeah, that's okay.
Who's Roger? Some other guy. Some other boxer?
Some other guy.
But that's his little brother, Roger.
Yeah,
so anyway, here's the deal.
It's his manager who actually bet on him and
the
won.
The thing I love about Mayweather is he carries $1 million in cash around with him. It might be more than a million. It might be 2 million. Carries around in cash with him on his shoulder, okay, all the time, just in case he wants to make a bet. Because he's a big-time gambler. And he's a good gambler because he's actually had to pay tax on gambling.
Well, he tweets out his winnings. We've talked about this
multiple
times.
Well, you know what?
I guess if you're making that much money, you can tweet out your winnings and pay the taxes.
I'm guessing he's probably worth at least $35, $40 million. But here's the deal. The guy with all the money won. That's all we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to baseball right now. And listen, real quickly, let's not talk about the Mets. The Mets are done.
Yeah.
They're basically getting their team together. They're playing the Las Vegas 51s are playing in New York right now. That's it. Their AAA team. And by the way, some of these kids are pretty good. Mm-hmm. A guy named Den Dekker, I saw him hit a bomb in Washington not long ago. Nats lost their first game in 8 games last time. They were actually making a play in Cincinnati wins, so now they're 5.5 games back of the wild card. So that sucks. I actually left, and they almost came back. And by the way, I saw the worst strike call in the history of baseball. A curveball in the dirt, a foot inside, was called a strike against Ramos last night.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, that home plate umpire should be fined a week's salary, maybe a month's salary, because you're either fixing the game, you punk.
He'd be the best judge in boxing.
And that's a catcher. That's the guy that's protecting him half the entire game.
Yeah.
And he calls the worst call I've ever seen in my life.
Was it worse than the Wisconsin?
Yes.
Arizona State?
Yes. It was. No, I'm just telling you.
There was all kinds of bad refereeing, whatever you want to call it yesterday, man.
Bad refs. We're going to have
everywhere.
We're going to do a segment on bad refs one day, and what we're going to do is we're going to put together a top 10 of the worst officials in that existing right now. And you know what? 7 of them would be baseball umpires.
Probably, yeah.
7 of them would be baseball umpires. In football, you never know who the good ones are, really, unless
the NFL doesn't do that bad of a job.
Well, they have replay.
They do.
And they have a lot of replay.
Although
even college has replay. They tried to eject that guy from Alabama who went for the ball.
Oh yeah,
he threw his arms out. I don't even think he made contact with his helmet.
He touched the ball.
He touched it before the other guy touched it.
I mean, that's where the rule gets. It would be one thing if he lowered his shoulder and threw his arms up.
You know what? We were going to talk baseball. Let's talk Johnny Manziel.
I honestly love Johnny Manziel.
You know what? 2 hour show is not long enough for you and me. By the way, this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Yeah. I got Roy, and if I sound like I'm doing Red Bull, I'm not. I'm just excited.
I like that.
I got pumped because I did an interview with a guy that we're going to hear from later on.
Yep.
And Sean Salisbury is my favorite guy.
If you follow us on the Twitter, you'll
know who it is. Go to Twitter at Sportsman Cave, at Bruce Hall Sports, at Sportsman Cave, at Bruce Hall Sports, not together, separately.
And then start up 5 other accounts and all follow us from those accounts.
And by the way, all of you stud beat writers out there who listen to my show, and I know there's a few of you because I'm starting to get people all of a sudden that follow me. And by the way, I just say follow me so I can DM you. And if you won't do that, you're big leaguing me. So what that tells me is kiss my behind, all you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
That means when we see you in public.
Yeah, when we see you in public, we're not
going
to big league you. We're just going to go, oh, there he is. Oh, now you want to talk to me. Hey, by the way, Roy and I went 7-1-1 in college ball yesterday.
Not a bad day.
7-1-1, and the only loser he had was mob-related because it was Alabama.
Bama.
And Bama.
15 seconds left in the game.
Well, what did you think? They were going to get backdoored because something like 83% of the money yesterday was on Bama.
Ruining our perfect day, man.
Well, yeah, but you know what? You don't want the mob mad.
That's right.
You don't want the boys mad. And they're not mad. So anyway, we're going to talk. We talked about Manziel. It's the first time I've seen an entire game of Johnny Manziel. He is unbelievable.
He's a monster, right?
I'm going to tell you something. He plays like he's bigger than Cam Newton.
I love Johnny Manziel.
He pulled away. Well, I forget the guy from Alabama. It's that linebacker. He had him. He had his shirt. He had his pants. Mm-hmm. And you know what he did? Something totally different. He stiff-armed him and backed up. He did a moonwalk away from the guy, runs to his right,
Michael.
Goes straight backwards and throws the ball 48 yards in the air for a first down.
I love Johnny Manziel. I'm one of the few people who will stick up for the kid.
You know what? When I was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, I would have really loved him because I would have wanted to party with him,
right?
too. Because I think Johnny Manziel and I have a lot more in common than me and Cam
Johnny
Newton.
Manziel hasn't done half the stuff that the average college student does. It's just that he won the Heisman Trophy, so he's college football's good boy. And everybody knows that in the offseason, you need a story.
He's college football's Robert Griffin III, only he's the bad boy, and Robert Griffin III is supposedly the good boy, but he's not. We all know who is. Two words, Tim Tebow. Oh, God, we did that right in unison.
Well, that's my
Tim
man.
Tebow absolutely, positively needs to get a job in the NFL. I don't want him going to Germany. I don't want him playing in the – although if he was in the Canadian Football League, he would win the Grey Cup, and he would also be MVP of the league.
Well,
now, there were a couple guys that did that, Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Remember, Doug Flutie got hosed here by Ditka.
Warren Moon has a Grey Cup. He's in both Hall of Fames. Warren Moon's in the NFL and
Canadian Football League. Won the Grey Cup 6 out of 7 years with the Edmonton Eskimos because Danny Kepley, who was a linebacker at East Carolina University, played with Warren Moon. And Danny Kepley was the last cut that Tom Landry made in Dallas. The year that he tried out there, he went to Canada. He got a job, married a really rich girl, and Danny stayed up there forever. He's still up there doing games. All right, let's do baseball real quick, Roy, because this is an NFL Sunday.
We'll go back to baseball.
Roy, this is an NFL Sunday.
Absolutely.
So we can't spend too much time on baseball. Let's do it real quick. Baltimore-Toronto. I'm taking Gonzalez because they got beat last night. They blew a 3-1 lead. I'm taking Baltimore
You're talking about doing scores,
Come on,
too.
real quick.
And I had the standings pulled up. I thought we were going
to
do it.
No, we don't need to do scores. We know. Look, the Yankees, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Boston, they're all in it. Detroit. Cleveland's barely in it. Oakland, Texas, they're the only ones in it. We're doing the American League. I like Baltimore. Do you like Toronto? Of course not.
No, Baltimore.
All right. Kansas City's
Put it
in
this
Detroit.
Way. If Baltimore doesn't win, count them out.
This is Scherzer's fourth try at 20 wins. I'm going to take him today, even though he's going against the best pitcher for Kansas City, Guthrie. Mm-hmm. He's minus 205. I'm taking Scherzer today.
I'll take Guthrie just because the...
Because I like the other
because
side.
The Royals are playing for something they haven't played for in a long time.
Which is...
A playoff berth.
No, they're not.
They're playing for playoff hope.
They're done.
Not mathematically, I don't think.
No, I think they're just about there. You're right. They're not mathematically. No, they're not. They're 7 games back. Well, you know what? That's a good reason to take Guthrie. Good call. Cleveland at Chicago White Sox sails out. McAllister, I like. I'm passing on the game. Both teams are
Chicago White Sox celebrated the half St. Patrick's Day yesterday, so they're not playing for much.
It's a 2-minute warning here. I got Price against Hernandez. I like Hernandez, but I love Price.
Yeah, I agree.
Williams is at Clemens, and that's not Roger. This is Cody Clemens. And I hear he's on the juice, and he knows where to find it. I'm just kidding. I'm not taking either of these guys, are you?
No, absolutely.
Oakland at Texas. I love Jared Parker. Parker is going up against Texas. I like Oakland, even though I had Texas yesterday, and Oakland won.
1-0.
Yes, they did.
That just shows you how good this pitching staff
is. Yeah, Nova's at Buchholz. Boston isn't going to lose to the Yankees. I'm sorry, Yankee fans.
No.
Yeah, they're going to win it. Miami is at the New York Mets. Dylan G, who has pitched extremely well, I'm taking the Mets against Miami.
Yeah, Miami's probably shipped it up by now.
Yeah, Cloyd at Zimmerman. You got to take Zim there. He's minus 200 against Philadelphia. And by the way, those Philadelphia fans, they're everywhere in Washington right now. Chicago Cubs at Pittsburgh. Liriano, who's been phenomenal, but he's going against another great rookie, Wood. I'm passing. It's too close to call. But no. I'm taking Liriano in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh fans.
They need to win.
First, congratulations to the city of Pittsburgh. This is your first winning season in 21 years.
Yeah, congratulations, Pittsburgh. And you know what? We're hoping that you have playoff games because Roy and I may sneak up there and do a show up there. You got San Diego, Atlanta. Pass. I hate Atlanta. And I'm here. It says Smith here, but he's not starting. Volquez.
Yeah, I see Smith too. But yeah. I don't know. No, it doesn't matter. I'm not playing it.
All right, I'm taking. I'm taking just because it's Atlanta. Royce, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. For Roy Edwards, we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We'll be joined by Tony Mazur here shortly. Of 92.3 The Fan?
WKRK in Cleveland. I always want to say Cincinnati.
That Ravens-Browns game today. But first, of course, we have to finish up our MLB picks because that's why you come to us. So, Bruce, where do we leave off?
You're talking about Major League Baseball picks.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Let's talk about San Francisco. By the way, San Francisco scored more runs. My Giants, by the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could just cash it in right now and mail it in and not even show up. Hunter Pence has got 15 RBIs in the last six games.
They're actually playing baseball.
He may get 100 RBIs. They may have to give him a pretty decent little three-year contract. Mm-hmm. I would give him 3 years. I'd give Hunter 3 years, $30 million. That's what they gave Angel Pagan, and he'll be back. And he looks fine. Yeah. They took his tendon out of his leg. But anyway.
They win today, and they move ahead of the Rockies.
Yeah, Vogelsong, you know what? But they scored more runs yesterday. They set a record. Mm-hmm. And I love it because Vin Scully sounded like he was crying on the air last night. We got a phone call.
Is this him?
Oh, my God. Is this Tony Mazur?
Oh, this is he.
Oh, my God. Tony, how you doing, buddy? You going to church today?
I already went. Tony, I love you.
Are you Catholic?
The Browns last week. The Browns, I needed to repent. Apparently, I didn't pray hard enough for them to win, I guess.
Apparently, both the Browns and Chick-fil-A are both off today. Is that true?
Well, of course. I mean, I think Chick-fil-A has more Sundays where they work than the Browns do.
Tony, every week we get a chance to get you on. We're going to get you on, and you're going to be – hey, by the way, you're going to be our AFC North guy, and you're going to be our – you're just going to be our North guy, okay? Is that cool? And
what you're going to be our best friend, North Coast, Tony.
Yes, yeah.
Tony,
absolutely,
listen, you got to talk to as many smart people as you can before you do what you do on Sunday, which is, put the house up. because if there's no juice on the game, it don't matter.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying? But let me ask you this. I like Cleveland all week. I read a lot about them. Their defense looks really good. Now, granted, last week wasn't a typical game, I don't think, for them. Do you? I mean...
You were upset
because Norv left the running game pretty early. He has a tendency to do that because, he loves quarterbacks, and I mean that in a good way. I don't think he physically loves them, although I couldn't speak about that. I know he had a crush on Troy Aikman for a long time, and he did draft Heath Shuler, who was kind of cute, but he couldn't play football in the NFL. And I want to say Shuler was like the third pick in the draft. No, he wasn't.
He was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he was the number one overall pick.
I bought his hat.
Oh,
it was a hat.
He was
Heath Shuler, number five.
Tony, tell us why we should play Cleveland plus, what do they get, six and a half?
I saw six and a half.
Six and a half. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Take it seven.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll take that. Go pull up Bovine over there. We got it.
Six and a half on Vegas Insider.
So what do you think?
I said, I'm picking Cleveland in this. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to cover. And I think the Browns are going to come out with something different because what happened over the week, they lost last week 23-10 to Miami. Many people thought, I'm picking the Browns. Miami's no good. Downhill passing game, Norv Turner, new coaching staff. This is going to be great. Well, they laid an egg, as they usually do on opening day. And what happened was, and this is the interesting thing that I don't know if I told you off the air, Bruce, but There's already dissent going on inside the locker room when talking about Trent Richardson. And what happened was, and here were the quotes.
Oh, my God.
Rob Chudzinski, the head coach, said that we wanted to keep Richardson fresh.
Yeah.
Richardson said, I'm healthy, I want to play. Norv said, well, we wanted to switch up the game plan and go pass heavy.
Right.
And then he also said that Trent didn't get enough reps in the preseason, so we wanted to, again, keep him fresh. And there's already problems going on right now when they passed so many times last week. And you know Norv better than I do.
Yeah, I do, unfortunately.
But Brandon Whedon, I'm sorry to say this to any Brandon Whedon apologist out there, he's not the answer. He has a big arm, and that's it. To me, it doesn't seem like he has much going on between the ears. He is just not I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, and after hearing Mike Lombardi talk about him when he was on the NFL Network,
right,
you got to believe that Joe Banner and Lombardi are looking in terms of Teddy Bridgewater, Taj Boyd, Aaron Murray,
yep,
whoever else is coming out in the draft. Because I will put money on it right now that the Browns are going to pick the quarterback next year in the first round.
I love the way I saw Bridgewater highlights over the weekend. This kid's for real. I mean, he's, in my opinion, he is the best quarterback in college football, besides Johnny Manziel. I think Johnny Manziel, when he comes out after his junior year, is just going to light it up. He'll be the first pick. And what we got to figure out is who's going to be the team that gets Johnny Manziel. Well, that's whoever finishes in last place next year. I'm Bruce Hall. We got Tony Mazur from WKRK in Cleveland on the line.
Yeah.
Tony, so you're going to take Cleveland. Let's go to the rest of the games, Roy.
Well, hold on. Tony, okay. First, thank you very much.
Roy probably wants to talk fantasy.
For Cameron. I appreciate that. He did me a beauty this past week. I just want to thank you
That's
for that
crazy.
And thank Norv Turner for only throwing to tight ends. I love that. But do you think going
Jay
forward, I know Josh Gordon will be back in a couple weeks, and Cleveland's really banking on that. But do you think that there's enough with Jordan Cameron to provide a crutch when Gordon comes back? Because you know those double teams are coming.
Oh, absolutely, and I think Cameron's going to be – because you've seen how with Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates, how the tight end position has evolved from even back in the days with Ozzie Newsome and Kellen Winslow.
Yep.
You see that tight end position is just – you're a glorified receiver now, and inside the 20-yard line, Jordan Cameron will be the first, second, and third targets. I guarantee it. So if you're in fantasy right now and you have him on your team, you have him on the bench, start him. Start him now. Do what you can. I'm telling you this as someone who lives in Cleveland, Ohio. Start Jordan Cameron. He is the real deal. He's friends with Blake Griffin. They had videos that they made. They put viral videos in from college of him dunking. He can get up. He is quick. He's a smart football player, actually. I would definitely
think. Hey, Eagles, San Diego Chargers, Tony. You saw the Eagles against the Redskins this week. Did you watch that game at all?
I watched the second half when they did nothing.
Philadelphia.
You watched the good parts.
Yeah.
you watched the fake game. That was the over cover. Thank God they hit the over. That's all I have to say, because I should have seen that coming. But
because Davis would have had to
let me just
college,
say, hey, Tony, let me just tell you this. I'm going to take the Eagles over, even though it's 55. I'm playing the Eagles and the over. I'm playing the Eagles over every week until they do not cover. I suggest you do the same.
That's a good call, because San Diego, even though they had that lead, and of course they blew it.
Yeah, I'm expecting a 28-20 first half.
Yeah, I could see that. And then you see San Diego.
Are you on a trampoline?
With Rivers pick after pick.
Hey, listen, you're doing great.
I know.
I'm just kidding. It's just we're just getting some. And you know what? You know how a lot of guys.
Cleveland
do you know how a lot of guys on the radio will big league you and just cut you off, like, you know, Kylie and those guys? We don't do that. we like to hear the boing boing. Tennessee Titans at Houston. I'm taking Tennessee. You know what I saw last week? I saw one of the most physical defenses I've ever seen. Now, granted, they weren't playing the Houston Texans, but I don't think the Houston Texans. Matt Schaub, in my opinion, isn't that good. I just don't like. No, I don't like Matt Schaub. I really don't. Do you like Tennessee getting 9 here, or am I just imagining things?
It's moved to 5.
No, it's.
9. I don't know.
That's
an 8. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's different. Go ahead.
I was just gonna Tennessee. I'm curious about Jake Locker if he's the quarterback going forward.
I agree.
He's just. It's like, I mean, with Matt Schaub,
is anyone
I think
with
Matt
a
Schaub
hot girlfriend?
A little bit.
Mm. Oh, it's not. He's not the one with a hot girlfriend, Jake Locker.
They all got hot girlfriends.
They all got hot
They're
girlfriends.
They're quarterbacks.
So you don't like him?
No, Jake Locker. I think he can be okay in a different system. I just see Tennessee. I think Houston kind of was recharged a little bit and got kind of shocked last week. I'm going with Houston this game. I don't care how big the spread is there.
All right, I'm going to ask you about another game. And now listen, at the end of the show, at the end of this segment, Matt's going to give me 1 minute left. At the end of the segment, we're going to ask you for your top three picks, and we're going to document. We're going to drop our top three picks at the end of the hour. Obviously, that gives us an edge because we can hear what you guys like.
Obviously, we can piggyback.
But here's the deal. We're going to want your top three picks. I'm going to ask you that. This is one of my biggest games of the day. I like the Rams getting 6 in Atlanta. I don't like Atlanta. I think Atlanta is average at best. And defensively, I just don't see it. The only thing they have going for them today is the fact that their running back is playing against his former team, but I think that plays into Jeff Fisher's advantage. What do you think, Tony Mazur?
I like Atlanta's team, and yeah, their defense can be suspect.
Oh man,
that offense with Julio Jones, Roddy White, Matt Ryan, I think has reached that tier of quarterbacks with being. I think you can make a case for him being top 5 in the league.
I think you could too.
You could make a case for it.
I absolutely think that.
So you don't you don't like that play. All right, let me ask you this.
Well, the other side of the. If you're going to be our AFC North guy,
yeah,
we got to look at the other side of the division with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in the game.
Oh, that's Monday night.
In the game that's moved the most.
Now you're going to watch that game
this,
for sure.
This game moved 12.5 points.
Absolutely.
It opened up Pittsburgh -6, and now it's moved to Cincinnati -6.5. So I know that they lost Pouncey at the center position. They had a high ankle sprain. So the Pittsburgh line is pretty beat up,
and they're terrible.
And they're not.
And the fact that they suck has nothing to do with it. No, I'll be honest with you. Pittsburgh's done. It's going to be. They're going to have to rebuild this team because their offensive line. They don't even know each other. Mm-hmm. They're a quarterback. It may be the slowest 30-year-old in the history of football, but he's still Ben Roethlisberger, yeah. But he still has Todd Haley telling him what to do. There isn't anybody that's happy right now in Pittsburgh. You got to take Cincinnati on Monday night. This is their opportunity to blow out the Pittsburgh Steelers on national TV. Tony, tell me you like Cincinnati.
I like Cincinnati here.
Yes.
I think Pittsburgh is going to come in last in the division.
Wow.
Because there is, yeah, you still have Ben Roethlisberger, but you mentioned it. Todd Haley is a guy that he was, every Steeler fan I knew that sat there and started shaking when they heard he was going to be the offensive coordinator.
And not be able to cheat. He can't even cheat in Pittsburgh. They don't cheat.
He's King Midas in reverse, in my opinion, with Todd Haley. Everything he touched turns to, you know, whatever comes, you know, whatever you want to call it. Let's just say
absolutely.
That. And when I saw last year, and I saw the Steelers lose to the Browns,
yep.
With Charlie Batch at quarterback,
right?
And yeah, of course, yeah, it's Charlie Batch, but there was no creativity on offense.
Right.
The defense is old. It's just. And Pittsburgh needs to retool. They had a great run. They had 2 championships in the past decade. It's time to start rebuilding.
Hey, the fact that James Harrison isn't there anymore and he's on Cincinnati's team, that's a 7 points right there. I mean, James Harrison may be one of the greatest linebackers of all time, and nobody knows about it. You understand? And every time he hits somebody, he gets fined $50,000. Yeah. I mean, and he doesn't do anything wrong. You know?
It's like a Ndamukong Suh, man. I can't
the thing
stop
I like about him
fine.
Is he's on Twitter. Hey, Tony, last thing we want to ask you, the Manning Bowl, who do you like? Denver,
you know, I
got to
go with Peyton.
Yeah,
I got to go with Peyton because because the Giants, I saw on Sunday Night Football, and I think they've been a little overrated. You have problems in the backfield. I just don't see them as strong. They're one of those teams that'll just go, like this year they'll go 500, the next year they'll win the Super Bowl. They're one of those teams that Tom Coughlin gets the guys ready to play, but I think this year the horses are... The horses need some water.
No, I agree with you, Tony. And I'll tell you another thing. If you remember when we called it a couple of years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they started out like this. All their defensive guys were hurt. Hey, Roy Edwards, Bruce Hall, and Tony Mazur with WKRK. Tony, thanks for coming on. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Quick recap of the Jets game. If you missed it, they did cover the 11-point spread, but now people are starting to call for Geno Smith's head for whatever reason. I know they had the chance to win, but come on, guys. Ease up on Geno Smith. The New England Patriots did squeak out a very ugly win over the New York Jets in the rain. What do you think? Do you think the receiving corps is there for Tom, or do you think that maybe Tom's starting to get a little older?
I think the receiving corps is not there, and I think that Tom is getting a little older. And I think and if you look at that game, I mean, that was New York's game to win. If Geno had just been told before the game, which doesn't look like Marty Morningwick did. He should have been told, play it like it's a game in your backyard. If everybody's covered, run. If he'd have done that, they'd have won the game because he held the ball too long. He's trying so hard to be a drop back, stay in the pocket quarterback. He's forgetting he runs a 4.5 and he's 235-40 pounds of man. He can run out of bounds. He can slide. Geno, let me tell you, I thought he played pretty well at times. I thought his receivers let him down. I thought that they got away from the running game too early. They didn't run. They were moving the football on the ground, and then they just threw like 7 passes in a row. And they want to know why they're not going anywhere. Well, they turned loose the pass rush by doing that, and he did get pressure. And I will say this about him: he doesn't have a second sense about guys behind him.
He stays in the pocket a little too long.
Yeah, his peripheral vision isn't all that great. I think I would have rolled him out a little bit more and let him run. Geno can run.
Yeah, well, a lot of
just a little bit.
I think what a lot of New York fans are starting to forget, or maybe they just never knew, but Geno Smith was never a running quarterback. Even at West Virginia,
but he could get out of trouble.
Even under the Bill Stewart system, before the Dana Holgorsen pass happy dump and dink, and then Tavon and Stedman Bailey. Before that offense, it was the Bill Stewart, which was the Rich Rodriguez offense, where the quarterback was encouraged to run. But Geno Smith didn't even run in that offense. I remember the West Virginia fan base. We had just run through the Pat White era, and now Geno Smith was this freshman who came in, and the West Virginia fans were begging this guy to run, thinking that, oh, okay, well, he's going to be like Pat White. He's going to run. And now I think Jet fans are looking at this guy and they're saying, why don't you run? Well, that's never been a part of his game, and maybe he'll work it into a part of his game, and he'll use his legs a little more, but he's not Mike Vick. He's not RG3. He's not Cam. He's none of these guys. He is a pocket passing quarterback. He's always been a pocket passing quarterback. So,
you know what?
Bear with the guy.
Let me tell you something.
He's a rookie.
I didn't see Geno much except a few games where he just lit it up in a couple of the bowl game where he didn't last year. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? There's only so many things you can tape in a day.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, the more I see the kid, the more I see the potential for him to be a good NFL quarterback. You know, he may end up being like Jason Campbell or a little bit better than Jason Campbell. He may not throw the ball any better than Jason Campbell, but I think that he's going to be able to make decisions. And Jason Campbell now, he's the backup where in Chicago? No, he's not even in Chicago.
I don't even know where he is anymore.
I don't either. He's changed plays. Oh, no, you know where he is? Cleveland.
Yeah,
he's in Cleveland. He's with Norv Turner.
Yeah, he's with Tony.
And I want to say Norv Turner drafted him. I think he did because
no,
I think
Gibbs.
No, it was Joe Gibbs. You're right, and he was the number one draft choice at the end. At the end of the
he went
like 30th or something.
He went 18th.
Yeah.
Carlos Rogers went eighth overall, and then we traded
Carlos
up for
Rogers.
Jason
Campbell. Yeah, and we get rid of one of the best. But where's Carlos Rogers now?
He's in San Francisco.
Is he still playing there? You know what? Pull it up. I don't remember hearing his name called unless he's injured. He may be injured. He may be on injury. Speaking of injuries, Mark Sanchez. Finally. Yeah. Now I got to tell you, Manish Mehta, who has come on our show last week or the week before he came on, and he was actually supposed to come on this week, and Manish may be even listening to the show right now, but my email is down, Manish. You have to send me a tweet direct message, which means you'd have to follow me to do that. Because I can't get a hold of you right now because it was all happening right before the show.
He's still in San Francisco.
Yeah, he is. But what you're talking about is perfectly right. I like what Tony had to say about Cleveland. But I didn't like what he had to say about the running game, which leads me to believe like there's a problem with the running back.
Yeah, well,
because if Norv doesn't like you, guess what? You don't play.
Well, look at the best running backs that Norv Turner's ever had.
Well, Emmitt Smith, he's okay.
He had LaDainian Tomlinson, who caught passes out of the backfield.
Yeah.
We had Emmitt Smith, who caught passes out of the backfield. In Washington, he had Brian Mitchell, who caught passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
How many true ground-and-pound running backs has Norv Turner had in his day? I mean, I don't even know if he's had one.
By the way, Brian Mitchell was traded to Philadelphia when Norv got to D.C. That was the problem. And
then who was Terrell Davis?
No, he had all kinds of guys.
Which Terrell Davis would be a downhill runner.
No, he never had Terrell Davis there. But
regardless,
it doesn't
matter.
Trent
Richardson is not a Norv guy. He's not.
He's a banger, I guess. And he's not really. He doesn't have great hands out of the backfield. But they can always bring guys in on first, second, or third down if they want to throw the ball. And even if they don't throw the ball, they could bring a guy in that can catch the ball and leave him in there in a two back. Situation.
Now, if you're a good offensive coordinator, you take the talent you have and you work it into your system. But
right.
Norv Turner is a gunslinger. That's what he is. So Trent Richardson.
Well, yeah, he's a Coryell guy. You know, Don Coryell revolutionized the game in San Diego many years ago when Kellen Winslow Sr. was tight end. And the thing that Coryell did was he went vertical. You know, he was like Al Davis. Mm-hmm. You know, they did a lot of vertical stuff. The Dallas Cowboys did a lot of vertical stuff. I mean, they had guys that were kind of gap guys like Michael Irvin. He could go anywhere. But they had a couple of guys that could just run past you that opened up the field for Troy Aikman, who either hit Emmitt Smith, Moose Johnston out of the backfield.
Yeah,
and what you're looking at right now is Norv's in Cleveland. He doesn't have those kind of – now, he does have a couple of decent receivers. I think one of their best receivers, Josh Gordon or whatever.
He's suspended right
isn't
now.
Isn't he hurt or something?
He's suspended, yeah.
He's suspended for being bad. Let's go over the games, Roy. We're going to start right now because this is NFL – this is a big NFL Sunday. Mm-hmm. I got the Eagles minus 7.5 and the total 55 here. I am not – taking the I'm not taking the game in a straight pick, but I'm playing the over for the Eagles for 5 stars.
Yeah,
do you think about this?
I like the over, and I'm with you. I have Philadelphia minus. I think it opened up at 6.5.
Now,
regardless, I have the same play as you do.
Okay, now Cleveland Browns are in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and Baltimore, of course, coming off a loss last week. It's their home opener. You pointed that out. They've never Joe Flacco's 10-0 against Cleveland. I just like Cleveland keeping it close defensively. I don't think you know who Baltimore's defensive backs remind me of right now? Washington's. They can't cover anybody. So, I mean, I see this game not only being closer than 7 points, I see Cleveland maybe being able to take this game out. The money line is plus 270 for Cleveland, Tony Mazur. What do you think? Roy, because you always have an opinion about Baltimore, because Baltimore SMC, Sports Man Cave, is one of your biggest little franchises.
Mm-hmm. I am not a fan of the Baltimore Ravens this year. I think they're an 8-8 team, maybe 9-7 at best. But you're the Super Bowl defending champions. You're doing your ring ceremony. Ray Lewis is going to be here pumping everybody up. It's your first home game of the year. You had to open up after winning the Super Bowl in Denver. Baltimore Ravens went 8-0 at home 2 years ago, and last year they had it wasn't a perfect season, but they're very hard to beat at home.
Right.
And there's no way that they lose.
And we've been to games together. We saw them squash Pittsburgh a couple years ago.
It's a college environment at MNT.
It
really is.
Purple, and everything's purple.
Everything's purple.
My favorite color.
So I don't see a way that the Cleveland Browns cover.
Are you going to take the Ravens, though, minus 7?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I'm going to pass on the game since you like the Ravens because you're helping me out there. Tennessee at Houston. You may hate me. I know you picked Houston to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't see it right now. I like what I've seen out of Tennessee. Tennessee historically has always been a pretty good road team. They just have with Munchak. In there. I like him. They kept Munchak, and you know what they're doing? They're knocking people's teeth down their throats on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to take Tennessee plus 9 in Houston, and I may regret that. And I tell you what, that plus 340 on the money line, that's a lot. That's a big number, plus 340. That might be worth a dollar or whatever you want to do, or dinner for that matter, and that could turn into three dinners.
I really like Houston.
Are you going to take them?
No, I'm not. They're not they're not one of my top plays.
I feel better about Tennessee.
Yeah, they're not one of my top plays, but I do like Houston. But what worries me is Aaron Foster's health. Aaron Foster didn't really get a lot of the carries last week.
Right.
Ben Tate was in and out with him. They're trying to nurse him back to full cover, which I think they kind of underestimated the Chargers a little bit last week.
Smack talk there too.
Yeah, and Matt Schaub came out the second half and he lit it up. I mean, he had a great.
Well,
he had
to. They were down 28-10,
which shows you that this team
28-7, right?
It was
28-10.
It was 28-something. They were. It was not pretty, but they did come back and win late. But Tennessee Titans, they just don't have the playmakers to me. They have Kenny Britt back, but it's still to be seen if he can get back to what he was before the injury.
Right.
They don't have a quarterback.
Got Chris Johnson, who looked good last week. He looked all right.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Chris Johnson.
I know. I hear you.
If he's not getting a big run, he's not doing anything.
All right, let's do this next game. We got a little less than a minute, I think. We got Miami. No, Matt's looking at me like I'm crazy. The Miami Dolphins are at the Indianapolis Colts. I love the Colts all week. Then I find out they got a couple of guys out this week. I'm still taking a minus 3. Andrew Luck, 8 comeback victories in his first 17 games. Nobody's ever done that, ever, anywhere.
I'm still not sold on this Miami Dolphins team.
I'm not either. I don't see where, you know, first of all, I don't see Philbin beating the Colts in Indianapolis. Do you?
No.
I think it's going to be real loud
there. The Dolphins could barely put up any points last week against the Browns, who I know the Browns are they're a physical defense. They play that AFC North, but I just don't think that. If it turns into a shootout and you have Andrew Luck on the other side of the ball, who he's slowly becoming one of the best quarterbacks in the league,
right?
You're not going to keep up with the Indianapolis Colts. Right. I don't care how many injuries are there. Andrew Luck is still standing, so you don't have a chance. I'm sorry. The Miami Dolphins don't have the quarterback that the Indianapolis Colts have, and they probably don't even have the running game.
Are you going to release Luck in the Indianapolis Colts minus 3?
Yes.
I like the number.
That is.
I mean, I think they're too good not to play him minus 3. I see this number normally at like 6 or 7.
It's my 7th pick.
Yeah,
but it's
still
a good
pick.
But I still like it.
All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Roy Edwards. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So far, if you're following along at home, we both like the Philadelphia Eagles minus 7 over the Chargers.
Yeah, it's up to 7.5 on mine now.
We're split with the Baltimore Ravens. I like the Ravens. He likes the Browns.
I like the Browns, but I don't think I'm going to play them. If I do, it'd be for a very small number.
We're split on the Texans. I like the Texans. You like the Titans?
I'm taking the Titans for a little bit.
And then we both like the Colts.
I love the Colts.
Which brings us to our next game, which I bet you were split on this one, too. I have the Buffalo Bills plus 3 over the Carolina Panthers.
You know what? I've got 3.5. on my number board, and the Buffalo Bills, listen, when the Carolina Panthers are on the road at your place and you're an underdog, you suck. Okay? Now, the thing I like about the Panthers is their defense is very good. Cam Newton, I mean, he needs the win. They need the win here. They really do. I'm going to pass on the game because – you know, EJ Manuel's played okay last week, and he's healthy this week.
Yeah,
he's a lot healthier than Robert Griffin. I mean, I wish, as a matter of fact, I wish EJ Manuel was in Green Bay with the Redskins. Mm-hmm. I think they'd have a better chance. I worry about Robert Griffin because he's not even. We'll talk about the Redskins in a little while,
mm-hmm.
but EJ Manuel looked good throwing the ball last week, and I like him. And I tell you what, too, their running back CJ Spiller didn't really do anything.
The Bills should be 1-0.
Yeah,
they really should be.
They should.
They didn't lose that game because of EJ Manuel.
Nope.
And I'm not on this. I've never been on this Cam Newton hype train. I think that the Carolina Panthers secondary is crap. I've never liked the Carolina Panthers secondary. They've tried to add.
We're using
pieces
such stern language.
They've tried to add pieces to it, but it's not doing
Matt's
anything.
Getting embarrassed.
And you play in one of the most high potent passing divisions. In
which is
in
amazing,
football,
exactly.
In all of football, and you still can't build a secondary. They got a few weapons there, but not enough. Not that the Bills have any of the weapons either. But I think that CJ Spiller is better than both of the backs that Carolina has, and EJ.
Well,
Manuel,
their best backs out,
and EJ Manuel isn't that much worse than Cam Newton. He really isn't.
You know what? I'd take EJ Manuel probably over Cam Newton because with Cam Newton you get a couple of things. He's already as good as he's going to get, in my opinion. Now, he may get smarter, but he'd have to go to another team to get smarter because mm-hmm. he's not going to get any better in Carolina, mm-hmm. especially if they keep the guys they've got there. Yeah. Now,
his top weapon's only getting a year old.
I'm going to pass on the game, Roy. It's just two teams I really don't care, don't think are doing anything right.
I like the Buffalo Bills plus three, but I'm not playing.
Let's go to the next game. Somebody just
next
hit me.
Next up would be the Atlanta
Somebody
Falcons.
Somebody just hit me in the back. What the heck was that?
Next game, the Atlanta Falcons -6.5 over the St. Louis Rams.
The over-under here is 47. By the way, I almost got killed by a line drive last night. Jason Worth, will you let the ball get in on you? He hit a line drive down the third baseline that literally almost killed either me or the lady that I was with, who happens to be a former high school a friend of mine. And I'm telling you, it missed us by 2 inches. And I actually tried to catch the ball, and I missed it. And if it had hit, we had three little kids behind us in the first row of the regular seats. Uh-huh. And if it had hit, Jason, let the ball get in on you. Hitting line drives and pulling them foul just tells me that you're not. He is on fire, so I really don't want him doing anything different.
Don't do anything.
But please don't hit me. You could have killed me last
Dude's
night.
Dude's killing it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that grunting sound reminded me of it because I think that's about the sound I made when I dove out.
Almost had that. The
St. Louis Rams, in my opinion, are going to be one of the most improved teams this year. They have a couple of guys out, too. The Atlanta Falcons are overrated, in my opinion. But you know what? This line is a pretty good line. Normally, you'd see the Falcons over the Rams at what? 9, 9.5, 10?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
Vegas is starting to notice that the Falcons really aren't that good now.
Well, the Rams went, 5-0-1 in the division last year?
Yep. And they're good.
Their only tie came with that San Francisco game.
And this isn't a division game, but you got to think that a lot of that had to do with the fact that San Francisco and Seattle might have spent a little bit more time game planning for each other than they actually did for St. Louis.
Right.
They won't do it again. They got one of the best. You'll hear it later on, but Sean Salisbury thinks that he went to USC with Sean,
mm-hmm.
but he thinks he's one of the best coaches ever. Yeah. And you know how much I like Fisher.
Yeah.
I wanted him in Washington.
We both said that
I didn't
that the
want
Rams,
Shanahan. Yeah. I wanted Fisher.
When we first started the show on WFAS, we both said that the Rams would be something in a couple of years. And now we're starting to see that a little bit.
Oh, they're going to be. So they're going to be.
I think that the Rams are a very good football team, but I think the Atlanta Falcons are a better football
team.
They
may have to up the ante with the wild card situation in football if they end up having four people in the same division that should be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you got to think about. And if you're in the NFL, of course, the commissioner's not going to think about it. He's got an IQ of 80. But everybody else needs to think about it. Even you, John Mara, you have an IQ of about 90. And by the way, I loved your daughter. Actually, it's not your daughter. Or is it?
I don't know.
Rooney Mara? I can't remember if that's John's daughter. I think it's
tattoo.
John's niece. Yeah, she's the girl with the dragon tattoo. Let's go to the next game. Oh, by the way, I took the Rams. Did you take the Falcons?
I took the Falcons.
Oh, you're sick.
It's not one of my top plays.
It's not one of mine either.
I like the Rams a lot.
I just hate being left out of a good idea.
I just think that if the Falcons are going to be the team we all think they're going to be, they have to win this game.
All right, we're on the Redskins-Packers game, and this is a big game for both teams because they're both 0-1. Yeah. One of these teams is not going to have a win,
right?
And their fan base will not be happy at the end of this game.
The line here is -7.5.
I got
Green
eight.
Bay Packers.
I'm looking at eight, now, in Green Bay. Yeah,
people, the over under 49.5.
Well, they found out it was Bruce Hall's play of the day. First of all, I actually released that earlier today. Now,
is this your is this
straight cash, homie?
Yeah, this is my straight cash, homie. I just don't think the Redskins have any opportunities. Actually, I have two straight cash homies.
Whoa!
No, I do.
And
my other straight cash homie.
Straight cash, homie.
You don't say it yet.
It's going to be a Monday night game. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
That could be one of 16 games.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, I'm taking the Packers here because they are mad. Okay, first and foremost.
But you don't think the Redskins are mad?
No, I don't think the Redskins can be mad. I don't think it matters about the Redskins here, because here's the problem the Redskins have. And you can call in. By the way, how does somebody talk to us and tell us we're full of crap?
240-317-7294.
That's 240-317-7294. Call in, tell me I'm full of crap. But Robert Griffin should not have started last week. We knew that a long time ago. He didn't get one snap in the preseason, and he goes out and he looks like he's scared. He's thrown off of his back leg and he's not running the football. And when he does, he looks like the defensive ends can keep up with him. He was, in my opinion, 50-60% last week. Now, I'm going to tell you what, in the second half, he looked like he was 70-80%. Because
how much
like
that is taken off the rust?
I think it's taken off the rust. I think it's getting hit and not being scared. Listen, one of the worst things you can ever do, and Sean Salisbury, when we talked about it, said when he had his ACL, it was never the same. He said, you always in the back of your mind are thinking about that next hit.
But
thinking about somebody going low on you.
To be fair, when he had his ACL injury, it was a long time ago. Medicine has evolved since then. To be fair.
Talking about Sean. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so is rehab time.
The ACL
but
is not
care.
What it used to be.
But I don't care. He got hurt at the end of the NFL season. And he wanted to be in it.
That's
be
true.
Back in.
He might have come back
when?
A little early.
In July?
He may have come back a little
June?
Early, but we saw Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he never threw with a pass rush. Nobody ever hit him. He never went full speed.
AP came back from it. I think the ACL injury now is starting to look a lot like the Tommy John surgery of baseball, where 20 years ago, Tommy John's meant you were done. There was no coming back.
Let me tell you the difference between TJ surgery, which is ulnar, elbow ulnar surgery, and an ACL. First of all, an ACL, you're talking about a quadricep muscle, which is the biggest muscle in your body, and a hamstring muscle, which is the second biggest muscle in your body around that joint.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a lot of torque. Your elbow is like 1/4 or 1/5 the size of your leg, maybe more. When you have TJ surgery, everybody that's ever had it will tell you when they come back, they're better than they were before.
But
they don't tell you that about an ACL ever. As a matter of fact, the one thing they noticed about Robert Griffin was that one of his legs is actually shorter than the other now. I mean, his surgical leg is probably at least a half an inch shorter than the other. That's why he's been limping. When they see him limping, it's not because he's hurting. It's because that's just the way the structure of the surgery was done. All I'm saying is this. He may not be ready this week. This week, Roy, is exactly like his second preseason start.
I agree.
And you know what? He'll be a lot better in his second preseason start.
I agree. I think that's why you saw the first half struggles last week. You can attribute it to not being hit since the ACL.
Right.
You can attribute it to he's only a sophomore in this offense, okay? So he's still learning the offense. He's still learning the playbook. And he's still trying to get up to game speed. As you mentioned, he hadn't thrown a pass in the preseason.
Right.
Hell, he hadn't even really thrown full speed passes in practice.
No, I hear you. But as a coach, I looked at him and I just said to myself, the first thing I said is he doesn't need to be out there.
He
didn't you think he looked like he didn't need to be out there?
I think
say yes.
He looked like he was not 100%, but at the same time, I'm glad that he was out there because he needed the reps for
this
game.
Well, here's the deal. If Shanahan had not wanted him to start, it wouldn't have mattered, because you know who runs the deal now? It's not Shanny. It's RG3, because he puts up such a stink when he doesn't get his way. And I got to tell you something, and I'm going to be this guy right now. I'm fed up with RG3's stuff. I love the kid. He's going to be great if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And he was great last year, and it was a fun year to watch the Washington Redskins win 7 in a row at the end of the year and almost win a playoff game.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of his antics. I just am. He's just too cool for me. Let's go to the next game because we're going to try to get all these in.
You like the Packers there, right?
I love the Packers there.
That's over or under the 49.5?
You know what? If I took it to hedge, I'd take the over because Green Bay's going to light it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that if we stay close, we're going to light it up. Take the over even with the rain.
Too, yeah.
Now, it's 70% chance of rain, and it was raining this morning when some people were tweeting. Let's go to the next game.
Next up would be the Dallas Cowboys. That line is 3 points, plus three to the Dallas Cowboys against the Kansas City Chiefs. The over-under here is 46.
You know, I love Kansas City in this game because Romo's sore. He's a little banged up. Dallas needs the win, even though they got it. And they covered for me last week.
Yeah,
by the way, I listened to the show. It was a great show. But you know what you didn't do? You didn't give everybody my picks. I texted you my picks. Just look at your thing.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The Cowboys were one of my big plays, and they lucked out. They covered by like 2 points. But they did cover, and I liked the way they looked. Didn't like Romo taking that hit. That was a big hit. He got hit by two guys at the same time.
Des Bryant hurt her too, but he's back too.
Yeah, what was his ankle? Sprained his ankle.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
But
Kansas City, as you know, when I was in Vegas, what did I say? 7.5. I mean, the house went on the over in wins for Kansas City.
I have Kansas City
winning 10 games this year, and I have them going to the playoffs. But I love this team because, A, they have the talent. B, now they have the coaching. And it's like Andy's been reborn. You know, Kansas City, let me tell you something. Philadelphia, Kansas City. I'm going to put my hands up right here. Philadelphia hate you if you lose one game. They will just tear you apart. Their fans tear you apart. Kansas City will follow you for years, and that is one of the and they'll love you, and that is one of the greatest places to play football that anybody has ever told me. Fan base in Kansas City and Arrowhead and the new Arrowhead, they're so loud.
They do,
and
they love it.
They wear all red, and you know, even Marty.
The Kansas Schottenheim. Jayhawks still sell
before Marty
football
Schottenheimer
tickets,
got
that just
in trouble
tells you
for
a little bit about Kansas City.
I tell you
people.
What, I love
I know
Kansas
it's in
City.
Missouri.
We're not going to get to everything we want to do. Let me just check real quick. Let's do one more game, Roy. Minnesota, Chicago. You love the Bears. I'm passing
the Bears.
I just think that this game, in my opinion, is a great number. I like the Bears minus
the
six.
The Minnesota Vikings are not who they were last year.
All right, we'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome to the second half of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome back.
Roy.
Thank you.
Welcome Matt.
To you as well.
Boy, I made Matt work today. We did like a pre-record in here before.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Salisbury will be on last segment today or the next.
Right?
No. Because Gary Myers is supposed to come on in the next couple of minutes. He's supposed to call in. I want to say at 11:07. What time is it?
11:05.
Oh, see, he's got 2 minutes. Gary Myers with New York Daily News. I love Gary Myers. Gary Myers used to be on, I want to say, Inside the NFL on Showtime. He was the insider on there. He's a great columnist. He wrote a great book. And he's also, you know, about coaching in the NFL, about the fraternity of coaches and so forth. And I'm going to make him plug his book at least 3 or 4 times while he's on here. But the thing I love about Gary is that he's a real honest guy, and he's really good. And You know, he's a Giant guy, too, I think. I mean, although he likes talking about the Jets, and God knows
we can talk about the Jets.
You know, you can say all you want, but Jets could be 2-0 right now.
I was just about to say, what if we sat here today?
Oh, by the way.
And the Jets were 2-0.
I had the Jets plus the points and the under. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When that rain came down in the second half, I was dancing in my living room. Because, you know, even Tom Brady looked like he didn't want to be out there. And a lot of the reason he didn't want to be out there is because he probably could have gone to some local high school and found better receivers. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
I wrote
Name me the receiver that kept dropping the ball. I couldn't tell you his name either.
Kendall Thompson?
No, it's not.
Is that his name?
No, it's not.
There was also Dobbs.
I don't even remember Dobbs.
He was the one who kept dropping a bunch of passes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No way.
Dude, I know they're... Danny Amendola, I don't even know if he really played. Did he play?
Danny Amendola got hurt.
Yeah, it was Dobbs. Dobson.
Well, no, Amendola.
Dobson, sorry.
Yeah, it was, what's his name, played their backup.
Julian Edelman.
I wouldn't call him a backup. As long as they keep Julian Edelman out of the bars and touching women, because he got in a lot of trouble for that last year. And I think that it kind of got swept under the rug or something happened. And it could have been some girl that he didn't even do anything to. But Julian, man, don't get drunk and go to a bar and do something stupid.
It's Aaron Dobson.
Dobson, that's him. Yep.
Not Dobbs.
I told you.
I was wrong.
Yeah, I know.
But I was close.
But that was real close. For you, Roy, that was like right on.
And it's
spot on for
and
you.
And it's Kendrick Tompkins, not Thompson. So I was close
Fun
on both of them.
Fun with Phonics by Roy
Kendrell
Edwards.
Tompkins.
Anyway, we're going to have Russell Baxter on one day.
Sorry, Tom Brady's still learning their names.
Hey, Russell, if you're listening to the show, Johnny Unitas, oh, God, now it looks like Peyton Manning has taken over, best Colt player of all time. I got news for you. Nobody's better than Johnny Unitas, not even Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but Johnny U was a Baltimore Colt.
He was also 85 he's been dead for a while.
He's a Baltimore Colt. So Peyton Manning is an Indianapolis Colt.
Yeah, so evidently he's got
so
these
he's
people.
The best Indianapolis Colt of all
well,
time.
Well, let's finish doing our picks.
Because Johnny U's statue sits outside of M&T Bank. I don't know if it sits outside of Lucas Oil or whatever they call it.
Hey, pull up the picks and let's go over them.
Sure. Next.
Oh, my God, that hurt.
Next up on our list of games today is my play of the day. It's my Stray Cats homie. So we'll hit the music.
I want to hear this. And by the way, Randy Moss is on TV now.
I know.
What in the world is that about? Is that because that we're trying to...
Fox Sports 1.
I guess they figure marijuana is going to be legal real soon everywhere, and they want somebody that's a doper on TV, which is perfectly all right with me.
If you're a clown...
I think that the NFL knows what Randy Moss has done with marijuana.
Yeah,
I think the NFL knows what Randy Moss does with marijuana.
Randy Moss.
I love Randy Moss.
Listen to the Fox Sports 1 lineup.
Yeah.
Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Donovan McNabb.
That's crazy. He's dumb as a bag of hammers.
Clay Travis, that clown.
I don't even know who Clay Travis is.
He made his living. He's not even a journalist. He made his living by trolling SEC fans. He just writes like hate blogs. And so Fox Sports.
Are you saying that like it's a bad thing?
I mean, I do that occasionally, but he made his living off of it.
Okay.
And he's out of Nashville. I mean, that is a joke of a line. Those three right there give you zero credibility.
Right.
He thinks that Dez Bryant – oh, I'm sorry. No, that's Michael Irvin, which is another zero credibility guy. He thinks that Dez Bryant's going to be MVP of the league. I mean, come on, dude. Come on. But anyways, back to my straight cash when we play the game. New Orleans Saints -3 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love, love, love the Saints here. Okay, the Saints beat an Atlanta Falcons team who I think is very good. They get their coach back, and they still have Drew Brees who's slinging the rock all around town. They still don't really have a running back, but since when has Drew Brees ever needed a running back to do anything? So I love the Saints here -3. I also like the under 47.5. Bruce, I know you like the over of 47.5.
That's my over of the day right there. Tampa Bay's got to score 28 points to even be in the game.
Josh Freeman slept through the team photo this week. Shiano has already talked about how he wouldn't be surprised if a rookie came in and won this quarterbacking job. Josh Freeman lost the C on his chest to Vincent Jackson. This team does not have a quarterback, and they don't have a leader. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is somewhere else, and they're going to get thrown all over today by the New Orleans Saints. So if this game does go over, it's because New Orleans puts up 41. So I
love the over. I just love the over. Let me just tell you this about Tampa Bay. Yeah, Rob Ryan's in Atlanta, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's still in his first year there. Last week, their defense played pretty well. And you could see they put a lot more pressure on the quarterback. But they're playing Tampa Bay, who's got a running back that can move. And I think what's going to happen today is I think that Tampa Bay, if they're going to be close, they need to score first. So they're going to have to go out there and offensively do something. They do have some receivers to throw to. And God knows there's a lot of stuff going on. But the only reason I didn't make New Orleans my play of the day was because I think Green Bay's madder than they are. New Orleans won last week.
Tampa Bay, man.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about New Orleans. I would have taken New Orleans if New Orleans had lost last week, because they definitely would have won this week.
Because Green Bay's your
but play of the I day. Like Drew Brees. You know, Drew Brees and Sean Payton right now are getting a little payback.
Two peas in a pod right there.
They're getting a little payback. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. The more I see, and by the way, Drew Brees' wife is hot.
Well, he's a quarterback. We go back to that again.
And who hit him over his eye?
That's
is he ever going to get
for
that
two
fixed?
Years in high school, and
he looks
see
like
my wife.
He looks like he's got a loogie on his cheek. I mean, he ought to get that fixed because I keep worrying about him. It's a birthmark, by the way. I'm just making fun.
Did he have surgery or something? Like
I'm that? Just making fun of you, Drufus.
I think he had something removed there.
No, he hadn't had anything removed there. It's a birthmark.
I think it was the.
I read.
He had the San Diego Chargers removed from his.
All right, let's do the next. Let's do the next one. I'm taking New Orleans and over. You're just taking New Orleans. Go.
Next up, I have the Detroit Lions -1.5 against the Arizona Cardinals. The over under here is 48.
You know, I loved this over until I found out how many people were out of this game. Larry Fitzgerald may not play. He's doubtful now.
He'll play.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know. I hope he plays. But even if he plays, if you know, what's he going to be? 60, 70, 80%? He's got a hamstring pull. I mean, it's not like he can run routes and not hurt his hamstring anymore. He can. And, you know, you got to figure out what does he want to do. I mean, are you leaving this game alone? I am. Absolutely.
I like Detroit here. With a 1.5.
Right.
I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are very good.
Right.
And the Detroit Lions are really one season removed from a 10-6 record.
They're, right.
I think the Detroit Lions retake their place as a playoff contender, much like the Minnesota Vikings did last year. I think that with the addition of Reggie Bush, it actually adds some sort of a running game there. I wasn't sold on Reggie Bush until last week, but Reggie Bush
he looked good, didn't he?
He showed up with bigger shoulder pads, looking almost like a Barry Sanders kind of build there. And if he can establish a running game like he did in Miami, the Detroit Lions are going to be a tough game this
year. You know who I need this week, and you know who I need. I need Megatron to show up.
Yeah.
They must have quadruple teamed him last week, and Reggie Bush just ran all over.
Well, they got Reginald.
Well, you know what? That's why they got him.
Get a hell of a game.
Because I got to tell you something. It looked like nobody had Reggie Bush. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're lucky to have a really, really super athlete and great football analyst. But also, I'm finding out from Sean Salisbury, who's on the phone. Hey, Sean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bruce. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on today, buddy.
You know, I'm doing what everybody does, but every time Sean Salisbury comes on either the radio or the TV anywhere, it's must-see TV and radio because, in my opinion, nobody tells it like you tell it. You know, you're not scared to say anything. And you know what? When you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything else, and there's no agenda there. And really, when people hear you say it, they feel a lot better about how they feel about stuff. Do you ever hear that from people?
I do all the time, Bruce. You know, it's interesting, and I appreciate that nice compliment. I've been humbled many times, and I was just raised in a family, and I think players, and as a player, fortunately having the perspective on both sides and also coaching quarterbacks, and being in the broadcast business, I plan to appreciate honesty. I don't talk about who a guy's dating or sleeping with, or, you know, if an Aaron Hernandez situation arises, we have to talk about that situation. But, you know, Tiger Woods situation, he didn't owe me an apology for that. He owed his family and his sponsors. He didn't owe me an apology. He was on my marriage counselor. And
exactly.
I had the same with when I do it. I think athletes appreciate it. I've had athletes come to me, and all the years I've been doing it, being honest, I don't rip them, and I sure as heck don't kiss their backside to kiss their backside. I watch the same film they watch, and I don't play favorites to my friends. That gets hard when a buddy like Jack Del Rio calls you, you're laughing, and he says, "Man, Sal, you hammered me last week." But they watch it. They know. I mean, I got the greatest compliment I ever got, and this is the truth. One of the best was Michael Strahan.
Uh-huh.
He came up to me, and I remember one year we were in New York City. He goes, "Man, you know what, Sean? I'll be watching myself and watching you talk about our game. You'll be talking about our defensive line or talking about me or our team, and I'm watching the first 15 seconds. I don't know." He said, "Well, I want to kind of disagree with you." And then he said, "All of a sudden, by the time you're done in 45 seconds or a minute, you convinced me that you know more about me than I do." And he laughed. And when he got the job at Fox, he sent me a message and said that everything he had learned about opinion and preparation,
right,
and just being frank, that he and I don't believe me, this isn't arrogant, I was humbled, said, "I learned from you, and that's the way I'm going to approach TV." And it made me feel good because, you know, players are watching. I mean, I can fool a mom in middle of Texas that, you know, loves high school football but
sure,
doesn't know the intricacies. And I try never to talk over somebody who doesn't and under somebody who does. And I just try to be honest. I study it. I don't take myself too serious, but I prepare hard. And I think the players appreciate it. So in all the years, you know, the Sharpie run-in with Terrell Owens was the only one. I mean, I may get guys that disagree with me, but there's a respect factor that I have for them because I know how difficult the business is. But I'll never not be honest, because I think fans, even if they may hate you, even if you're picking against them or you're saying something about their team that you don't like, or that they don't like, I still think they respect it enough to say, "I got to tune into this guy next time." But I'm so honored for the and Michael's fan, trust me. I hope he doesn't do everything in his career that he
Michael's
learned from
a good guy. I
trouble.
Mean, a lot of people don't know Michael at all.
I love Mike.
Yeah, I
Mike's
do too.
Sense of humor. When you see him on that morning show,
he's got a good gig, you know, now, doesn't he?
He's the best gig in the world. He gets to go out with a beautiful lady and talk all that morning show entertainment stuff. Then he gets on a private plane and gets to go talk football. He's got the best gig on the planet. And Mike knows it. So
yeah.
I just, when you get compliments like that from former players or current players, it means a lot. And for you to say that, yes, I do hear it a lot, though, that, you know, people, I think when your presentation, when you're confident and really believe, I don't just say stuff to say it, and you believe when you
well,
believe
you can't.
In it.
You know, you can't,
yes,
because it's coming from your heart. You're Pat.
Yes, and that's the only way I know how to do it. But
you're so passionate about sports in general. A lot of people don't know this about Sean Salisbury. By the way, we're talking to Sean Salisbury. And where I remember Sean was when you were in Minnesota. Because didn't you play for Denny Green?
I did.
I love Denny Green. I met his daughter at the Olympics. I don't know if you've ever met his daughter, the one that was a travel agent.
Yep.
was standing next to Michael Johnson. And by the way, Michael Johnson should have played pro football. He's a monster of a body.
Yes, he
and,
is.
And I'm not saying whether or not he was juicing or not. I mean, he looked like he could have been a juicer. But my point is that Michael Johnson, I'm standing there, he's one of the nicest guys in the world. And this little good-looking girl comes up to me and starts talking to me. And she introduces herself, and we were talking about this, that, and the other. I told her I had a radio show, and she goes, "Oh, you probably know my dad, Dennis Green." Duh, yeah, I think I know who your dad is. He's a great guy. We actually have him on the start of our show. But listen, Sean, a lot of people don't know this about you, too, and this is probably what gives you such great insight, but you were an All-American basketball player in high school, and baseball was one of your best sports, too. And to be honest with you, I was a three-sport athlete for the 3 years I was in high school, because when I went to high school,
right,
it was that long ago in Arlington County, Virginia. It was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade in high school, which actually I like better than 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. It kind of makes more sense. But the thing
right.
that is that being a cross trainer like you were, it gives you better insight in general, in my opinion, to every sport. Because
no question about it.
Just because you know everything about football, because there's a lot of guys and football's all they do. I like the guys that talk about baseball, too, because if you don't understand baseball, In my opinion, you really, there's a lot of things in sports you probably don't understand, because baseball is completely cerebral. There's a lot of guys with talent. It's all about touching first base. I'm a hitting coach. I coach a college wooden bat team in the summer. So I have a lot of respect for guys that play it all. Listen, let's talk a little bit about
Bruce,
the game.
Let me just say one thing about that real quick. Thank you. I think that one of the things that discourages me about high school, aside from we think everybody should get a trophy these days, is that the encouragement that only you should only play one sport. I truthfully, and you know, we all like to tell our old high school fish stories, but I didn't play football until I got to high school. Didn't know how to put pads in. I played tackle football, could throw the ball, and loved watching it, and studied it, and loved football IQ. But I was a better baseball and basketball player, even I think through high school. Basketball was obvious, but I was one of those guys that throw in the 90s and was big and could run until I blew up my knee. And I don't mean that, Eric. I would rather talk Red Sox, Nats.
Sure.
You know, I'd rather talk playoff baseball than I would football. I just happen to – people try to pigeonhole you, and I fight that all the time because, let's talk Final Four and, baseball. But you and I will do that for another time when that season's up and running and we're in the – maybe sometime we'll talk playoff baseball as we head down the stretch here. So I'm honored to be on with you and talking what we talk in the season that's in, at least in full stride, both of them, baseball and football. But I know football's our focus.
Now, listen, right now, you watched a game yesterday because I was following you a little bit on Twitter. And Johnny Manziel, he reminds me of Robert Griffin III. Look, I live in D.C. I went through all of that last year. I've been a Redskins fan since Norm Snead was a quarterback. That puts me about 10 years ahead of you. And Norm Snead was the number one draft choice. I think he was the first or second player picked in the draft. And I got all mad when they traded him to Philly for a guy named Sonny. Until I saw what Sonny
could
do.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Sonny, we're talking about Sonny Jurgensen. By the way, I'm on the phone with Sean Salisbury, who is going to be on the show from time to time. And Sean, let me ask you this: the Manziel stuff. I mean, you think that's the media, or do you think that's Johnny Manziel, or do you think it's a combination of both?
Well, I think it's a combo. I think that what I love, the off the field stuff. First of all, we can have a whole Sunday segment talked about NCAA rules.
We
can talk all about that. The university's making money. You know what? The guys, I'm not making an excuse because I don't believe that when you're in your 19, 20, 21 years old, that we need to treat you like a child. Okay. And I just don't. That being said, he's got some immaturities about him, but the same things people love about him on the field is the same things people may hate off the field. He's brash and he's confident. And you know what? I don't know if he took money or if he didn't. He's done some silly things off the field, but tell him to get in line. Who hasn't?
Exactly. Me too.
He'll either learn or it'll backfire on his face like it has many. But, I love the kid. I'll tell you why. I mean, I don't think he's a bad kid. Maybe a little, we all make poor decisions that make people bad. But I know this, that when you get on the field, it's special. And the media creates this. Media creates the Tebow stuff. We all in the media create. Think about it. We no longer just report it. We do create news.
Yeah.
And even though people, you want to judge him on the field is one thing, but who wouldn't want a guy who claims he's a virgin and lives right and does right? And yet we'll still beat him in the ground. The guy's a good guy. Good kid.
He's a great guy.
All he wants to do is play football. So we'll let him worry about that. But Manziel, I'm telling you, Bruce, one of the greatest playmakers. I could go through a list. I think he's one of the top three or four playmakers I've ever seen in college football. And you'll get everybody, Barry Sanders, I get it, Rocket Ismail, and Charlie Ward. And that's what makes it great. Everybody loves lists. And he's a guy that does stuff that the average player or good player can't do. So the media creates, he doesn't have the, has he got the body to play? Is he that type of player to set up? I'm so tired of that. Russell Wilson, if you stretch him out, is not 5'11". Breeze isn't 6 foot tall.
Yeah, two great athletes.
Yes. And if you can play, you can play. Can you find the open area to throw in? Can you throw through lanes? Do you have football IQ? Do you make plays when things don't happen? Are you one of those guys that people around you are better?
Exactly.
And Johnny Manziel is all those things. So I'm so tired of some guy who's – and it doesn't matter. People can be great analysts that never played. Don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
But don't sit behind your newspaper because you're writing a column from 6,000 miles away and tell me that Johnny Manziel can't play and he's this and he's that until you stood next to him and watched him play and sat in a room with him and watched film. Or watched him play on the field and studied him. So, yes, he can play. Yes, he's a playmaker. He's doing it against the best people in the world right now in college, and he'll play on Sundays. But he makes something out of nothing. But my whole thing is leadership. And do you make guys around you better players.
Well, I couldn't.
Yes, and good leaders make themselves better. Great leaders make everybody else better. And he's that guy.
No, he is. And I'll tell you what, it was the first time I've seen him for that long because for some reason I just didn't really see A&M last year that much. Of course, they're going to be on TV a lot more this year than they were last year. I mean, Manziel was a freshman. He wins the Heisman Trophy, which is pretty amazing in itself. But, you know, that game, it was a very strange game. I mean, from a standpoint of, you know, Vegas got hammered late with Bama. And then all of a sudden, it looks like they're going to cover the spread into the third quarter. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, here comes Johnny Manziel, throws a 95-yard touchdown pass, and A&M ends up covering the spread. You know, I got a saying in the handicapping business, the boys don't like to lose money. Well, they didn't lose any yesterday late. And I think a lot of people played that late because the line didn't really move that much. The thing I like about Saban, he was ducking questions all week, wasn't he, about this little thing that's going on. And I really don't care about stuff that happened 15, 20 years ago unless it was a murder, you know, or a fraud or something like that. I mean, don't bring that stuff up to me. But the thing that I like Saban, but I don't like him personally. I know people who have coached with him.
He's hard on his assistants.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, well,
hard as anybody.
One of the best coaches I've ever known stayed with him 1 year, and he was a phenomenal recruiter. As a matter of fact, he probably recruited that entire offensive line from that first championship team a couple of years ago. But the thing of it is, and I hope I didn't drop his name out by saying that, but the thing of it is that you don't have to like him. You know, look what he does. I mean, he's a great college coach. He's a great recruiter. He's in a program. As far as I can see, he's clean now. You know, the program, I mean, who knows? You know, I mean, Cam Newton and Auburn, I don't really care about that either, even though that's probably a hell of a lot worse than anything you're going to find at Alabama anytime soon. But I really don't care about that. But there are a small number of good college teams now. And I don't know if A&M is one of them, but I'll tell you what I saw from Johnny Manziel yesterday, he was unbelievable. How about that damn scramble where he gets away from the guy who's a phenomenal player who had him by the jersey and the pants, and he backs up. Nobody would back up. He backed up to get away from him. And throws.
He's special.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
He's special. That's what I'm saying. He can throw better than people give him credit for from the, you know, behind in the pocket, behind that line. But he just understands. He gets it. I mean, people ask him what that it is, and I don't know what it is, but I know part of it is making people better, and I know part of it is making something out of nothing. But just guys who understand that when the temperature of the game goes up, their blood pressure goes down, and he I believe that.
Oh, he's
and
got
I,
ice
that's
water.
Just a cliche.
He's got ice water.
That's just a cliche. That when you go up and touch their pulse in a pressure situation, I believe their heart beats slower than the rest of ours. I do, and it just. And Manziel has it, but to do and talk about Saban, I don't care if you like Belichick or Saban. I mean, any of us. I don't care if they like the personality. They're not inviting us to dinner anyway. One thing I do know about the Nick Sabans of the world, they stay the course.
Oh, yeah.
They don't deviate. They'll take your best punch, and then when they punch back, you better be ready to take it. And you know what's interesting? I mean, he is the best coach in college football, and it's not close
right now. I agree with you.
But they will. The thing that they do, and it's interesting, with all this new spread, read option, five, empty the backfield, motion out of the backfield, in the gun every snap. He lines up in a pro set offense, gets in the gun once in a while, and knocks you right smack dab in your damn mouth, even when you're down 14-0. And then he'll mix in a little flea flick or mix in. But all he wants to do is play physical, protect the football, knock you around, and don't give games away. He will never. If you notice, he and Belichick's team rarely, and he's a pupil of Belichick. They don't beat themselves. They don't beat themselves. They make somebody else beat them. And, you know, everybody thought A&M, but the biggest thing going in, and I think you saw some of my stuff on Twitter even leading in, that can A&M physically stand up when Yeldon's running and they're pounding, and very few can. And as we saw, even though it was 49-42, probably not quite that close because the physical beating Alabama puts on you. They're just great playmakers with Manziel on offense.
Absolutely. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to protect you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. Bruce?
Yes, we are. Hey, we played... You're pointing at me. Every time
every time you point,
Roy freaks out. So do I, because you don't do that very often.
Hey, what are you doing? What do you want
from me? Yeah, Matt, what do you want,
to tell him
Matt?
How to hear the rest of that last
interview. Hey, if you want to hear the rest of the interview,
you should have told
and the
me
only
that.
Listen, the only reason that we're doing this is because Sean, unlike a lot of people that work the NFL, does like to handicap. So if you go to BruceHallSports.com or eventually go to SportsManCave.com, and by the way, the difference in the websites is night and day. Roy's is beautiful, mine's ugly, but I have good, my show's on my website all the time. And by the way, mine isn't going to be ugly long because the guy that did Roy's website is getting ready to do mine. He just doesn't know it yet, and I haven't negotiated the price yet. I might have to give him some tickets to something.
There you go.
He's a good guy, the dude, right? What was his name, Roy? Guy does all the webs?
The guy who does my website?
Yeah.
His name is...
Dude.
No.
He's the dude.
No, that's not the guy who does my website.
Who is
it? Pro Websites USA.
All right, we got a call. I think I got Gary Myers on the line. Gary, how are you?
Hey.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Hey, Gary, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on. Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist. And, Gary, by the way, what a great piece this morning that you wrote about the Mannings.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that, Bruce.
That was awesome. So, hey, listen, we've got we're probably going to have you on a couple of segments. First of all, tell everybody the name of your book. I got two-thirds of the way through it, and I haven't finished it yet, but it's a great book. Talk about all of the coaching fraternity and stuff that's going on in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Please plug your book, and I want you plugging it at least three times while you're on the show.
All right. And I saw you know about picking with the spread. I prefer not to do that.
That's perfectly all right. That's fine. And I'm glad.
And how long are you going to have? Just tell me how long you're going to have me on, folks. I'm going to be driving.
Well, I'm going to have you. I'm going to have you on this segment, which is probably another 10, 12 minutes.
We're actually live right now.
Yeah, we're live right now. We're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on the air. Anyway, tell us a little bit about what you talked about in your article for those people that do not get the New York Daily News or are just getting up now in New York. Tell us what you talked about in your piece this morning.
Well, I really just talked about the significance of two brothers playing against each other. Two brothers who accomplished as much as these guys have, which is pretty amazing. And this could be the last time that they face each other, and unless they happen to meet in the Super Bowl in February. So I think it's going to be a wild day at MetLife. I think there'll be a lot of points on the board, and I think it's going to be a really interesting day.
Yeah, it really should be. The thing I like about this game in particular is two of my favorite people are Olivia and Archie. I mean, Archie Manning, I'm one of the few guys probably that you talk to that remembers him. Heisman Trophy winner, pretty sure at Ole Miss, or he got second. I can't remember. Might have been a Heisman Trophy winner there. Then he got drafted in the first round by the New Orleans Saints and, was destined to lose, got beat up, very similar to the way what happened to Troy Aikman.
Well, he's the reason why Eli ended up in New York.
That's exactly
right. He didn't
want
the same thing to happen to his son.
Well, yeah, I guess, but he Eli was drafted originally, Gary. Wasn't he drafted by San Diego?
Yeah, he was picked by San Diego, but he had made it clear before the draft that he didn't want to play for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And he kind of pulled a move like John Elway did with the Baltimore Colts in 1983. The difference being that San Diego turned right around and traded him to the Giants when the Giants run the clock with the fourth pick. And San Diego actually, I think they came to like Philip Rivers better than Eli anyhow.
Right.
So and knowing that Eli did not want to play in San Diego, it was kind of a no-brainer trade for the Chargers, and they wound up a lot of, really good draft picks. And the Giants got the guy that they wanted. I don't think, 10 years later, anybody would question the wisdom from the Giants' perspective of making that trade.
No, Jerry Reese, wasn't he the GM? Was he still the GM then?
No, Ernie Corsi was
that's
the GM
right. That's
who
right.
made that trade.
Well, you know, the thing that was amazing about that was that look at the difference between the Chargers and their record since that happened and the New York Giants. I mean, it's like night and day. The Chargers at the very best were average, to say the least.
Well, I mean, San Diego for a lot of years was an extremely competitive team that, you know, was just on the verge of, you know, they made it to the AFC Championship game one year. They got, you know, they were always a playoff team. They just couldn't get over the hump.
Right.
The interesting thing about Eli is, you know, in making the only 2 years that Eli has won a playoff game, the Giants have gone on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
The other 3 years, they have not even won a playoff game. So it's not even like he's advanced around and then lost. In the other 3 years that he's been in the playoffs, the Giants have been one and done. So, which has kind of been like the theme through his first 9 years of his career is that he's either really, really good or, you know, mediocre to, you know, just average in the other years. There's kind of been no in between with Eli. He either wins it all or he either doesn't get in the playoffs or doesn't win a playoff game. But I would think that if you ask any team before they draft a quarterback, if in his first 9 years he got you 2 Super Bowl rings, whether you'd sign off on it, there isn't a team in the league that wouldn't do that.
Absolutely not. And even to this day, when you talk to other NFL players, like, you know, guys on NFL Network were talking about it yesterday and this morning, and they've been talking about it for years. Who do you want in the one game? If you had one game, would you want Eli or would you want Peyton? It's amazing how many guys pick Eli because he seems to just – for one game, he can get focused and just get the job done. The thing I loved about the Giants and the way they've played, and to be honest with you, this year hasn't looked spectacular for the Giants so far. Of course, they've only played one game, but they've got a lot of injuries, and it reminds me a lot, Gary, of the year they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago because they came out of the block and their defense was all banged up. They had guys on offense, you know, their offensive line, they were putting makeshift lines together throughout the year. Then all of a sudden, after week 12, they put it together. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year because I think there's some stronger teams now in the NFL than there was that year. Somebody had to beat Green Bay that year. Now here's a question I want to ask you. And by the way, I'm talking to Gary Myers. Gary Myers, New York Daily News sports columnist, big NFL insider, in my opinion, and just published a book, Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. It's a great book if you love the NFL, especially if you're a coach. I think all coaches need to read that book. I don't care if you're a little league coach or if you're a college or a NFL coach, you need to read the book, Gary. It's a great book. The one thing I love about New York in general is look at, you know, this year, you got two teams. Now, the NFL, basically the Giants, in my opinion, this is what I've always said, they're the NFL's team. I've been in sports entertainment my whole life. And when the Giants go to a Super Bowl, you can't find tickets because everybody in New York, in the offices, in the NFL office, everybody in downtown New York that's a season ticket holder that has a box, they all, it's like the tickets dry up. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Jets,
right.
The Jets haven't been back to a Super Bowl in a very long time. I mean, and it remains to be seen if they're going to get back anytime soon. But the other night, the Jets could have gone to 2-0. Did you get a chance to see most of that game the other night?
Well, I was actually at that game, Bruce.
Were you really? Did you do it?
Yeah, they had a tremendous opportunity to win that game. You know, Tom Brady and his receivers are really out of sync. He doesn't have the quality around them that he's had in the past. You can see his frustration on the sidelines during the course of the game. You know, the problem for the Jets is that Geno Smith turned the ball over 3 times in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jets really wasted a golden opportunity, you know, to win a game in Foxborough. And, you know, I think going forward with the Jets this year, that the key thing for them is just, you know, coming out of the season and having a definitive stance on Geno Smith.
Right.
Can he be the guy going forward? And even if they don't have a winning record, and I don't think they'll have a winning record, but as long as by the time they finish up the season, they feel good about Geno Smith, then to a certain degree, I think this season is a success. Now, if they have to go back to Mark Sanchez when it comes off IR in November and he doesn't play well and the quarterback situation is just as confused as it seems to be right now, then the season's a waste. The Jets probably have to draft another quarterback and start all over again next year.
Yeah, you know, being at that game, you got to see it. I mean, to me, it looked like the Jets got away from the run a little too early because it seemed like, you know, they were moving the football when they were mixing it up a little bit. But for some reason, they just started throwing the ball way too much. And the thing that I noticed about Geno was it looked like he was staying in the pocket too long. He didn't really feel the pressure coming from behind him and on the sides. And if he'd have just taken off with those really good legs that he's got, I think they would have won the game. But, you know, here again, I can't speak for the offensive coordinator and what he was trying to do. We're speaking to Gary Myers, author of Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches, a New York Daily News columnist. And, Gary, I can't thank you enough for coming on. The one thing that we do, can you stay on for the next segment, Gary? We're just going to break for about a minute.
Yeah, sure, Bruce.
Okay. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back in a minute with Gary Myers and more of the NFL on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm with Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist and one of my favorite authors. Gary's just written Inside the Coaching Confidential, Inside the Fraternity of NFL Coaches. It's a great book. If you love the NFL and if you love coaching, you got to read this book, especially if you're at least 25 or 30 years old, because there's a lot of stuff in there about a lot of different coaches. And Gary, thanks for coming on. The game itself between the Denver Broncos and the New York Giants, do you think Eli's got a chance to beat Peyton for the first time? Do you think it's going to happen, or do you think that Denver is just a little too much team for the Giants right now?
No, I like the Giants' chances in this game. I think it's going to be, a really high scoring game. The weakness of both teams at this point is really in the secondary, and Peyton has three really good receivers, and Eli has three guys who last week each caught passes totaling over 100 yards. So I would expect this to be a really high-scoring game, and I absolutely give Eli a chance to win it. I think he will win it. At some point, the Giants' defense is going to have to make a play and turn the ball over, back to the offense or something along those lines. But I think for the most part, this game's going to be up and down the field. And I wouldn't be surprised to see both quarterbacks throw for, 325 or 350.
Do you think that the running game, or I guess lack thereof a running game with the Giants, will pose any, handicap or crutch to the Giants moving forward? I know you said that you think the Giants have a shot to win this, but can they do that without a running game?
Well, no, at some point they're going to have to be able to run the ball against Denver. And it's going to be, maybe the story the sidebar to this game, other than the Manning versus Manning, will be, what happens to David Wilson? Does Coughlin start him? And I think that he will. And then once he starts carrying the ball, does he hold on to it? I would not put him in the category yet. Yeah, I wouldn't put him in the category yet of, like, Tiki Barber. Last year Wilson fumbled his first carry, and then he didn't fumble again from scrimmage the rest of the year, and he carried it another 50 times.
I remember that, too.
Yeah.
Last week, he was getting the ball ripped out of his hand.
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily carrying it carelessly. He just needs to secure it better.
Right.
Especially as he's going down. And now that he has the reputation, the guy who'll give it up,
you know that defenses are going to take every opportunity they can to try to rip the ball out of his hands. And I guarantee you that's all they worked on in practice last week, you know, putting him through a lot of drills, probably having guys, you know, grabbing and tugging at him to try to knock the ball loose. And, you know, I think David Wilson's kind of miscast as an every down back. I don't think he's built that way.
Right. But he's not a big guy.
He can be a productive back, and he is a home run hitter.
He's quick. Yep.
Speaking of big backs, the New York Giants went out and signed a guy, Brandon Jacobs, or re-signed, I should say, who weighed 290 this summer. Apparently, he's gotten back down in a little bit of playing weight. But does the signing of him this week, does that pose any threat to Wilson going forward? Do you think he'll get any carries today?
Oh, I think that Jacobs will get some carries. I mean, he's only going to be a threat to Wilson if Wilson can't hold on to the ball. They want David Wilson to be the every down back, or at least get, you know, a great majority of the carries. And the only way it's not going to happen is if he fumbles. So Jacobs is there just as insurance. I don't think they look at Jacobs necessarily as a guy that they brought in to challenge Wilson for the starting job, because the job is his as long as he holds on to the ball. I don't think there's anything that Jacobs is going to do necessarily that's going to cause him to start. It's mainly, you know, will Wilson lose the job? And you know, it's certainly a possibility if he can't hold on to the ball.
Exactly. And, and Coughlin being the veteran coach he is, it's the one thing veteran coaches, and actually coaches almost any age, are all about. I mean, if you can't secure the rock, you're not going to go in there and carry it. Gary, let me ask you one question. Back to Eli and Peyton. The Mannings hate, I'm talking about Archie and Olivia, they hate watching their kids play on TV when they play each other. They have to be at the game. Is there any particular reason? Because personally, if it was my kid, I don't know if I'd be there or not. I mean, I'd probably be so proud I'd want to be there. But I think that I could very easily, if it was my kid, pin myself up in my own house and watch it on TV. What do you think about that? What do you think the reason is they have to be there?
Well, I mean, the two kids playing an NFL game in the same game. I think you'd want to be there, right?
It's a bowl game, I guess. It really is like a Super Bowl for them, isn't it? How often does that even happen? You know,
I mean, I would think there's a tremendous amount of pride that comes along with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's not like they're playing on the field at the same time and they're going against each other, or one brother's going to hit the other or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like watching, you know, regular. This sounds silly, but I mean, when they're watching the game, it's kind of like Denver against Oakland. When Peyton's on the field, they're rooting for Denver, and it's kind of like the Giants and the Cowboys when the Giants are on the field. You know, they're rooting for Eli. Yeah. So, I mean, the only real emotion that comes out of this, in terms of the fact that they're playing each other, is, you know, at the end of the day,
somebody's got to win.
That one wins and one loses.
Yeah. Hey, before we get down to the end of the show, Gary. Tell everybody what
Bruce,
yes, sir.
Can you just give me one second?
Sure.
Give me one second.
Anyway, Roy, the thing about it is that, you know, with this game, you know, to me, it's like they'll show the Manning parents 100 times during the game.
Yeah, well,
and I really don't want to see the Manning parents, but once or twice, you know, that has to be some kind of a problem for them. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Listen,
okay,
just
great.
Can you repeat that?
No, Roy and I were talking about the one thing that the television people will do is the cameramen will make sure that we throw the
the Manning parents are
there. We know they're there.
Exactly,
they're going to show. They're going to show them 200 times for 15 to 30 seconds each, and we're afraid we're going to miss a really good replay or something.
Oh, there's no question. You know, and the interesting thing about, you know, you're talking before about the parents coming to the game is Cooper, who's the oldest of the three brothers, and
the funniest of all of them. Yeah,
he couldn't bring it upon himself to come. Because he hates it when, you know, his brothers are playing each other. So
wow.
His plan was to be at the Ole Miss Texas game last night in Austin.
That was a good place to be if you're an Ole Miss fan.
Get back to New Orleans in time to watch it on TV.
Huh?
No, that's phenomenal. No, he's a. He, they say that until, you know, he had a physical disability, correct? And he was maybe the best athlete of all three of them.
Yeah, he was thought to be the best. Yeah, he was a receiver.
Well, he was a wide receiver.
Yeah,
and when he got to Ole Miss, they discovered he had a narrowing in the spinal column. So obviously, when that's a situation, you know, you can't play because, you know, a hit can be very damaging. So, but he was. I'm not sure he would have been an NFL player, and maybe he would have. We never got to find out because he never played college football. But he was a tremendous receiver in high school. In fact, you know, his last year of high school, Peyton was his quarterback.
Hey, Gary, tell us what Coaching Confidential inside the fraternity of NFL coaches is all about. I know, but this is for our listeners. What can they expect to read about when they buy your book?
Well, it's really behind-the-scenes look at what these coaches' lives are like and how they handle the pressure, how they try to balance their family life, how they deal with issues on their team, you know, whether it be a competitive issue or a personal issue in their own lives. I really get into a lot, you know, the problems that Andy Reid had with his sons and Tony Dungy. And I tell people this. I think football fans love it, but you don't have to be a football fan to love it because there's really a lot of stuff in there that transcends football. It's more about what these guys are like as people and how they deal with problems that you and I deal with. But being on the stage of, you know, the NFL and being having one of these 32 jobs and high profile, high pressure, and how they try to balance their lives. So that's really what this book is about.
You were at the Hall of Fame ceremonies in Canton, Ohio this year. And I know you were there because I was following you while you were there. And somebody talked about you, and I can't remember who it was, but the one thing they mentioned your book. And the thing one of the guys that you do talk about in the book is Curtis Martin. And Curtis Martin, because you spent a lot of time on Bill Parcells, who went into the Hall of Fame this year. And you know what? I'm not a big Parcells fan from a standpoint of, you know, he's a lot like Saban. He's not a lot like Saban, but he's a lot like a lot of these coaches, Belichick, Saban. They're not the guys that you would look for to go out and have a good time with, per se. But what they do it better than anybody else. Curtis Martin had nothing but great things to say about Bill Parcells. And Bill Parcells had nothing but great things to say about Curtis Martin. Was that relationship literally that close when he played for him with the Jets? I guess, and the Patriots, right?
Right, because Parcells drafted him in New England and then brought him to the Jets, yeah. It really is a father-son type relationship. I think Curtis really looked up to Parcells. He respected him tremendously. He looked for him for guidance. I know that they're still very close to this day. And that, I guess the best way to say it is Parcells has been a tremendous influence in Curtis Martin's life. And I know that Bill takes a tremendous pride and what Curtis accomplished on the field, but also what kind of man he's become today.
Listen, Gary, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. And I look forward to having you in the future. And listen, good luck with whoever you're rooting for tonight. And look forward to listening to you and hearing from you soon. Okay, buddy?
Well, Bruce, you know, when I've done as long as I have, I don't root for anybody.
No, I hear you. You'll be perfectly happy with one winner no matter who it is. I know that. That's great, buddy.
It doesn't matter to me, but enjoy the game.
Hey, listen, enjoy Westchester for me, will you? All right, buddy.
Okay, take care.
All right. Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist. Nice enough to come on and talk a little bit about the Manning Bowl. Mm-hmm. Roy?
Yeah.
Let's go over our picks real quick.
Well, we got about 3 minutes to run down four games.
Let's do it.
So let's make this happen.
Who we got?
The Oakland Raiders -5.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The over-under here is 39.
This is almost was my play of the day.
Yeah.
This was almost my
straight cash.
It was almost my straight cash, homie. But I got
straight
I'm taking the Raiders -6, and I'm hammering the number.
Me too.
Absolutely. And I love this Raider quarterback, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah. On Twitter, a bunch of people ask me, you know, they're in keeper leagues and they want to know who to play. Well, if you're in a keeper league, this is a perfect opportunity to take the Oakland Raiders in probably what is one of their only games they're going to win this year.
Absolutely. Next game.
The San Francisco 49ers, they are +3, so the Seattle Seahawks are -3 here. The over-under here is 44.5.
I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. The number, I would not. What was that?
Your computer.
My bad, homie.
I don't like this game either, but I like the dog in it. So I like the San Francisco 49ers. The Seattle Seahawks, they don't have Percy Harvin yet. He's not 100%. So to
They got a couple guys out for one reason or another. Oh, Bruce Irvin's isn't in
right. Their pass rush isn't complete. Their wide receiver,
I'm
the top receiver,
it.
Is not there. I like San Francisco here,
but
I'm exactly
saying that
like
you. All you want. They're playing in Seattle, which is impossible to win in. Pretty much.
Neither of us are touching it, but I like the over 44.5. But I wouldn't play that either.
You know what? I don't
just stay away from the game.
Yeah, that's not a listen. This is a game that the bookmakers in Vegas and the handicappers in Vegas all spend a lot of time on to get the number right. Yeah. Next, Matt.
Now we are wrapping things up here. This is the Monday night game. This is Cincinnati Bengals, our favorite here by 7 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The over-under here is 41.
Straight cash, homie.
Matt.
Hey, this is my second straight cash. I had two this week. I had to play Green Bay because I hammered them all week, and I am playing the Cincinnati Bengals to destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers and take out years of frustration.
I agree with you, but I tend to stay away from rivalry games, especially in Monday night. But I like the Bengals here. Bengals -7.
I got two words. It's not Tim Tebow. James Harrison.
I like the over here.
Great game, Roy. We'll see people next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230.
I'm right back.
WFAS.